credit. Every other week, opposite the main Hey YA podcast, we'll bring you a short form podcast of YA talk across a wide range of topics. I'm Erica Ezzafetti, and I've got some great news to share. We Need Diverse Books has launched a new site dedicated to children's and teens Indigenous literature. It's called Indigenous Reads Rising. I will link it in the show notes. I know I'm going to be on that site on the regular, and I recommend you are too because it looks really good. That is a perfect segue into the theme of today, which is simply Indigenous books for Native American History Month and beyond. But before we get to them, a couple things. One, I wanted to let you know that we have paperbacks available in our TBR service, which, if you're unfamiliar, is a service in which you get your next read curated just for you based on things that you like. I'm excited that we're able to offer paperbacks now, not just because of, they're less expensive, but also because there are some great backlist titles that our customers may have never heard of that we get to share. So make sure to sign up today to get our new paperback offerings. You can go to mytbr.co. Again, that's mytbr.co. Now we'll hear from our sponsor before we get to the books.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Diana Dixon has a busy summer and no time for tall, gorgeous hockey player Shane's shenanigans. Because you know what? If they shenan once, they'll shenan again. So she thinks she knows exactly who he is when he moves into her apartment building, but turns out Shane's sick of hookups and tired of being on the rebound after his long-term girlfriend called it quits. But when his ex comes back into the picture, he needs a plan. And who better to play his new girlfriend than his sassy new neighbor? So a fake relationship might be perfect for Diana's own ex issues, but Diana is used to living by the rules. Will she learn that when it comes to love, rules are meant to be broken? Make sure to check out The Dixon Rule by L. Kennedy. L. Kennedy is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author with over a million copies of her books sold. So this is going to be another banger, y'all. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
Today's episode is brought to you by Thirsty by Jazz Hammonds. College student Blake and her girlfriend have one goal: join the exclusive sorority that promises connections to a network of trailblazing women of color. Now, Ella's acceptance is a sure thing. She's a daughter of a Serena Society alum, after all. Blake, on the other hand, lacks Ella's pedigree and her confidence. Luckily, though really unluckily, she finds courage at the bottom of a liquor bottle. When she drinks, she's bold and funny, and as pledging intensifies, so does Blake's drinking. Ella assures her that she's fine, partying hard is what it takes, but with her future on the line, Blake must decide how far she's willing to go to achieve glittering dreams of success. Now, just so you know, Jazz Hammonds is the 2023 winner of the Critics Scott King John Steptoe Award for New Talent for We Deserve Monuments, and We Deserve Monuments was an Amazon Best Books of the Year and Barnes & Noble Best Books of the Year for 2023, so suffice to say, y'all should check this new one out. Thanks again to Thirsty by Jazz Hammonds for sponsoring this episode. So the first book I have for you is Res Ball by Byron Graves. So Res Ball is about Trey Burns' life. He is a high school student and his life is basketball. He loves it. He wants to play for his reservation. He wants to play for his brother who passed away in an accident and who he thinks about constantly. And he wants to play for himself, of course. He wants to be in the NBA. My guy has dreams, okay? Like, he wants to be a baller, shot caller. Maybe not a shot caller. I just wanted to complete the phrase. But he wants to be a baller, okay? So he gets the chance to work on his basketball skills when his brother's former teammates offer to take Trey under their wing. But he kind of has a lot going against his dreams of getting to the NBA. There's racism he has to deal with, as well as his longstanding grief of his brother, as I mentioned before. And his father doesn't really believe in him on top of all of those things. Plus, he's still trying to figure himself out and trying to fit in where he can. And he might party, like, a bit much, just a bit. Then there's Kiana, who is a gamer and who Trey is falling for. Just a bit, just a little, just a smidge. So all in all, this is a great look at Indigenous teen life and life on the reservation, which is totally different from anything I've experienced. So it was interesting to read about. And I would love to see more books like it, more books about Indigenous teens, Indigenous male teens. I'm here for it. So again, that's Red's Ball by Byron Graves. Next up, I have Man-Made Monsters by Andrea Rogers, illustrated by Jeff Edwards. I love the premise of this one, and I'm surprised I didn't hear more about when it dropped in October last year, but maybe that was just me. Maybe y'all heard about this one. So it's a collection of stories about a Cherokee family through time, like through the generations, starting in 1839 and ending in 2039. So it's not just a family saga, though, because again, the title is Man-Made Monsters, emphasis on the monsters. Okay, so what I mean by that is, so these stories start with Amma Wilson, who has to contend not only with white settlers, but also with the diseases and a supernatural presence. Like, sis is going through it. Like, one was enough. She's got all three. Okay. So she deals with all that. We follow her. She deals with that. And then the stories continue through the ages, focusing on new characters within the same Cherokee family. And there are monsters and ghoulies and goblins and such. So there are monsters that we in the West will be familiar with, like vampires, werewolves, zombies, etc. But there's also the real life horror that comes from colonialism that Indigenous communities have experienced. There's colonialism, being displaced, as I mentioned with Amma Wilson. There's intimate partner violence and all these other man-made terrors. And then there are the monsters that have been inspired by Cherokee stories, like the Deer Woman and these other creatures. And of course, I always like learning about other cultures, lore and mythology and stuff. So that's partially why I really like the premise of this book and how it handles things. And the collection is given even more weight and presence, I think, with the illustrations by Jeff Edwards that include Cherokee salaberry. So that's really dope. Make sure to check out Man-Made Monsters by Andrea Rogers, illustrated by Jeff Edwards. I think you'll like it. Next up, I have To Shape a Dragon's Breath by Monica Black Goose. So dragons are that girl right now, like, thanks to a certain book series. You probably know the one, like dragons. I mean, did dragons ever really leave? Did we ever stop liking dragons? I think we didn't. I think we just forgot that we liked them so much. Anyway, dragons are hot. And in this book, 15-year-old Atticus finds the first dragon's egg on her remote island in generations. I think it was like 200. Divide 2000 by 10. We're doing book math today. She finds the first dragon's egg on her remote island in 200 years. And when the egg hatches, Atticus and the hatchling bond. And everyone celebrates because when there used to be more dragons on the island, they warded off storms and it made things better for everyone. And the people loved the dragons. Now Atticus is revered as a special person who has a unique relationship with a dragon. And her people are here for it. They love it for her. They love it for them. But then her brother comes back to town explaining how she'll have to enroll in an English school, which, if you hadn't guessed, are basically this world's English people or settlers. I mean, it's pretty, you know, it sounds English. It sounds like it pretty much. So, as I said before, her people have had dragons, or I should say worked with dragons, not have them, not that they're to be possessed, but they have lived alongside the dragons for centuries, but the English want dragons trained in the way that they think they should be trained in their own culture, right? And if Atticus doesn't accept that, they will kill her dragon. So in order to protect her dragon, she goes to Cooper's Academy for Dragons, where you probably assumed, and rightfully so, that she is not welcome. She's not welcome there. And even though she has everything against her, she's determined to learn the English lessons to protect her dragon and herself and just do right by her hatchling, her little friend. Along the way, she meets other dragon riders who she eventually befriends, one of whom is autistic, while another is the only other girl at the school. And so, yeah, this is some hefty fantasy here. It's like 500 pages. You know, I feel like when I see a fantasy book that's like 500 pages, I'm like, oh, so you're like fantasy. Like, this is a chunky book, okay? And the lore is there. The world is built. The pages are paging. And I think this is a great start to a queer, indigenous, neurodivergent fantasy series. It's book number one. I don't know when book number two is coming out, but I'm excited for it. So yeah, make sure to pick up To Shape a Dragon's Breath by Monica Black Goose. And is all I have for you today. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor for making the day show possible. You can follow me on Twitter. I know, y'all. I know. At @Erica_EZE_. Big shout out to Caitlin Brame, our audio editor, for making me sound great. Appreciate you, girl. We'll see you next week on the main podcast, where I'll be joined by Tears of Price. Until next week, happy reading.